grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I mentioned at the beginning of the service, next week is our Big Offering Sunday. And for those who are visiting today or don't know what on earth that means, Big Offering Sunday is a time here at St. Mark's where we challenge ourselves to consider giving a special gift to the work of God and the life of His church in response to everything He has done for us. So in preparation for that next week, our focus for this week is on Christian giving, and the lectionary has been kind to us and given us a reading on exactly that, on the joy of Christian giving. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with your word and the gift of your Holy Spirit. And we pray that you send us your Holy Spirit again this day as we meditate on your word to make us kind and generous and giving just as you have been to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. American author Dan Clark tells a story about going to the circus as a teenager. And he says that he went along to the circus with his father, and there was a long line up for tickets, and he was in that line, and they were moving along closer and closer to the front. And when they were one family from the front, something quite amazing happened that sort of changed him, and he's always remembered it. There was a large family in front of him, and the children were all talking excitedly about what they were going to see and what they were going to do once they got into the circus. And it was fairly clear to him that this family didn't have a lot of money, the kids weren't that well dressed and presented and that kind of thing. This family was obviously first timers as well at the circus, and they were really looking forward to getting in and being part of it. The teenager observed the conversation between the father in front and the lady at the ticket counter. When she quoted him the price for their family to go in, the father leaned forward and said, "Sorry, how much did you say?" And it was clear that he hadn't anticipated how much it would be and that he didn't have the money to pay for his family to get into the circus. So Dan's dad took $20 out of his pocket, and Dan remembers this well because he says, $20 was a lot of money for us. We weren't that well off either. And his dad dropped the $20 on the ground and then turned to the father in front and said, "Excuse me, sir, I think you dropped some money." And it took a moment for the man to register what was going on, but he did. And when he did, tears just filled this man's eyes because he knew what he was doing for him. And he took Dan's father's hand in his hands and he says to him, "Thank you, sir, thank you. You don't know what this means to me and to my family." The end of the story is that Dan and his father left and hopped in the car and went home that day because they didn't have the money either to go to the circus. But he remembers this story as a moment that changed his life, and he says they left with something far better than what they would have got there anyway. They left knowing the joy of giving. What is the joy of giving? What is the importance and the power and the wonder and the greatness and the joy of giving? Not just of our money, but partly of our money to the work of God, the work of His church, and to others in need. I want us to think a bit about this today. Four brief points to work through. Someone told me last week they felt shortchanged by two, so now you got four to make up for it. Four points. When giving becomes taking, when giving is out of our abundance or out of our wealth, our version said, when giving is out of our poverty, and when giving becomes better than taking. So firstly, when giving becomes taking. Jesus' first word for us in this text is a word of caution, a word of warning. And when it comes to money in the Bible, the words we get are often words of caution and often words of warning. And Jesus says this, "Beware of the teachers of the law, who like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, to have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honour at the banquets. They devour widows' houses and, for the sake of appearances, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Beware of who? Not everyone who wears a robe, I don't think. All right, there's different reasons. Beware of who? Not everyone who is greeted with respect. There's a place for respect in society. So beware of who? Not everyone who's given a special seat somewhere at a wedding or wherever we are. There's a place for that. Beware of who? Not everyone who says long prayers. I don't think it's good to pray. If you can pray for a long time, then good for you. That's good. So beware of who? Beware of what? What are we supposed to be on the lookout for, cautious of, wary of? I think the point of the text is beware of the motivation. Beware of the rationale. Beware of the reasoning behind people's actions. It's not just for them either, it's for us too, right? To beware when giving becomes taking, when what we're offering actually becomes more an offering for us than for anyone else. I think that's what we're supposed to be aware of. Be aware when what we're giving is for the sake of getting, whether it's to make ourselves look good, feel good, right? Often we talk like that, this makes me feel good, and that's good. But is that the only reason you do it? And if it didn't make you feel good, would you still do it? What's the reason? What's the rationale? What's the motivation? I think people in positions of responsibility, like these teachers of the law and like many others, need to be really cautious of their reasoning, their motivation, what drives them. So Jesus cautions us on this. Now, after the caution, Jesus sits down with his disciples, and they're in the temple precinct, and as I said with the kids, there's these 13 sort of receptacles around the place where people could come and put their offering in. Now, you have to think about the currency in those days, right? It's all coins, so there's no notes, and there's no pay wave, and there's no regular electronic giving, and right, there's none of this. It's just all coins. So if you're coming and you're putting in a large sum, which is what he says, then probably you're putting in a lot of coins. And so it's noisy business, right? You come and you empty your bag and you put in your coins into one of these containers. Now, Jesus looks at people doing this and he draws his disciples' attention to them and he says later, he says, these people are giving out of their wealth or out of their abundance. They're giving out of their abundance. What does that mean? These are people who have wealth, some amount of wealth, and they're giving according to what they have. So that they're giving out of their wealth a section to the work of the temple, which is also the work of God and also the work of his people. They're giving out of their abundance. Now, Jesus doesn't condemn this. He doesn't say there's anything wrong with this. He just draws their attention to it. These people are giving according to what they have received. They've been blessed, and so they give of those blessings. I think Jesus would say, as long as they're not doing it just to look good or to sound good or whatever, then good. They're giving to the right place for the right reasons. Now, the danger is when we think that this is the only way to give. And that is the only way and only occasion on which I ever could give if I have enough, in our terms, to give out of our abundance, out of our wealth, out of what we might call our reserves or our savings or something like that. Pastor Tim Keller calls it out of our margins, right? The extra bit. Once we've done everything we want to do with it, you know, we've got that bit left over, okay, that's what we give. And like I said, I don't think that's a problem in and of itself, but it's the thinking and the attitude that goes along with it, and Jesus wants to challenge that in part. At least what it does is acknowledge that there's a need and that there's a cause and that there are things worth giving to. The danger of it, and I want you to think again about the family at the circus, right? The danger of it is that if that family had have taken care of their own needs first and paid for their tickets and got into the circus and then gone, oh, we've got a bit left, turn around, is there anyone in need? Here they are, give to them. It would have been a nice gesture, right? But it wouldn't have been a great gesture. It wouldn't have meant they got access into the circus, probably. It wouldn't have been an inspiring gesture in the way that it became. What does it mean, giving out of our abundance? Jesus doesn't discourage it. Jesus doesn't condemn it. But Jesus does draw our attention to a different kind of giving and a different attitude towards giving than we might expect. So this is what the text says. Many rich people put in large sums. Along came a poor widow. And she put in two small copper coins, which are worth a few cents. Then he called his disciples and he said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had to live on." So you get this contrast that Jesus is drawing, right, between the well-off people putting in a section of what they have and this poor widow who comes along. These folks who are, you know, it's noisy, it's loud, you can hear the coins rattling, and then this lady comes along. And he draws their attention to her because they probably otherwise wouldn't even notice her. Right? And he has to say to them, "Look at her. Did you see her? Did you hear her? Probably not. Look at her. Watch her. All right? She has done something wonderful, beautiful, incredible. Did you notice?" And so he sort of draws their minds over to her and talks about what she's doing. Now, those two small coins are called lepton, and a lepton is worth 1/400th of a shekel, which is not much, right? In our terms, probably about 1/8 of a cent, which is not much, right? So in our terms, it's next to nothing that she's putting in. In her terms, it's next to everything that she's putting in, because that's what she has, right? All she has to live on, it said, is what she's putting in, all she has to give. Now, Jesus says this is more. That's his words. It's more than what the others are putting in. Now, how is it more? Is it worth more? Doesn't seem to be. Is it more in amount? No. Is it more in, you know, physically? No. Is it going to go further in the temple budget? No. So in what sense is it more? I think Jesus is getting at the point that firstly, it's more in proportion to what she has. Assumedly, she could have kept one of these coins for herself and put the other in. She puts both in. Firstly, it's more in proportion. Secondly, it's more in terms of her motivation. Where's her heart? Where's her mind? It's all in. It's complete. It's utterly wanting to give. And thirdly, it's more in terms of her devotion. She's so dedicated to this work that's going on there at the temple, which she sees as the work of God. And so she gives entirely of herself to it. This is what Jesus praises. This is what Jesus just is in awe of. Right? This is giving out of our poverty, despite our poverty, utterly, completely, wholeheartedly to his work. What this woman does is she gives her most. She gives her best. She gives her first fruits, which may just be her only fruits to give. And not because she has to, but because she chooses to. And not until it hurts, but despite the fact that it will hurt. I don't think that was hard for her and meant the next week and whatever was going to be hard for her. Think again about this family at the circus, right? You don't think that was hard for that father and son to do? To walk away, the father knowing that he had deprived his own son the opportunity to go to the circus that day. The son thinking, does my father care more about other families than he does about our own family? You don't think that hurt a little bit? That was a bit difficult for them to do? Jesus knows that giving hurts, right? He doesn't suggest that it doesn't. But he still calls us to it because he believes in the inherent goodness of it, the incredible importance of it, the lasting joy of it. He knows that ultimately it's worth it. And so he calls us to it anyway. Today's Remembrance Day, right? And part of Remembrance Day for us as Christians is that we thank God for people who served in World War I, but also every war. And we thank God for their sacrifice, and we thank God for their giving of themselves, their best, all they had, out of their poverty. Why? Because they gave everything. The best years of their lives, right, were given up selflessly, self-sacrificially. Same thing that this widow is doing today in giving of herself. And it's the same thing that we're called to. Every day, in little ways, little opportunities, little times that God presents before us and says, I want you to give of yourself, of your time and your energy and your money and whatever else you have, but firstly of you, to give of yourself, of who you are. My encouragement to you in the lead up to next week, to the big offering Sunday, is simply to think for yourself about how much you'd like to give, to make a decision about it, right? So it's not just left to chance, and it's not just left to the day, and it's not just left to the possibility, but it is for you a priority and an opportunity to experience the joy of giving, right? Because you might look at this and you might think, yeah, it's just to bless the church, it's just to balance the books. In some ways it is, right? But it's also for the work of the gospel. And if the gospel is true, the gospel tells us actually the ones who are going to be most blessed by giving is you. Just as much as the people it's going to reach, it's going to be good for you. You're going to experience the joy of giving and the importance of it. It's a wonderful thing. And so Jesus encourages us into it and towards it. Finally, when giving becomes better than taking. Now, Jesus says elsewhere, he says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. But if you look at Jesus' life, he doesn't just say it, he does it. He gives himself, right? Poured out for the sins of the world, leaving the riches of heaven for the poverty of earth, making himself a sacrifice for us and our salvation. I want to just return to the circus story one last time. When we hear a story like this, I think we very naturally, and certainly today we've been talking in terms of us as that second family, right? The family with the opportunity to help someone else in need. And that's good. And it's good for us to think in those terms. But if you think spiritually, who are we really in this scenario? Aren't we the ones at the front of the queue that don't have the means and the resources to enter that promised land, to effect our own salvation, to get there all on our own? Aren't we the ones standing there not knowing what to do until a wonderful Father and Son come up alongside us and drop something at our feet and say, here, this is for you. This is to help you. Aren't we the ones in need who God comes alongside and answers that need and responds to? You know, what God gives us is not something we can earn. It's not something we can pay for. The cost is too much. It's too great. And so he takes that cost on himself. And he pays for it by himself. And the expense that is very expensive is his alone. When we think about our giving, really, we're just like that father of that family in front of that line, turning to the God behind him and taking his hand in ours and saying, thank you, sir. Thank you. You don't know what this means to me and my family. But of course he does. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have come alongside us wherever we are, our situations in life, and you have offered us something that is beyond our means and our resources to effect for ourselves, and we call it salvation. It includes forgiveness, life, hope, peace. Lord, remind us of the value of this gift and help us respond to this gift with our own generosity and giving of ourselves and our time and possessions and all that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.